Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. I've been threatening you. It's coming. Brotherhood of the Bag, a wholesaler's handbook. It's getting perilously close. If you want more information about Brotherhood of the Bag, a wholesaler's handbook, head out to wholesalermasterminds.com. There's a pre-registration area there for you to make sure you're on the list. Get some preferred pricing for the book, if you will. We got a great speaker today. I know that there's a ton of sports fiends in the wholesaling community. I found a gentleman, or actually one of my coaching clients, was at a conference and heard this gentleman speak. I did some research on him. He's got a fascinating background. Let me give you a little bit of information about Don Yeager. Don is a 7-time New York Times best-selling author. He spent a very long time as an associate editor for Sports Illustrated. His books have sold more than 2 million copies. And while he was engaged with Sports Illustrated in his journalistic career, he had some really amazing experiences, just a few that I highlighted from his About Me on his website. He was in Afghanistan walking with Afghanis with the Mujahideen as they fought the Soviets. He went into Baghdad with the victorious Iraqi soccer team. He was in China uncovering the story of counterfeiting American golf clubs. And he was in Damascus finding the last living terrorist of the 72 Olympics. He's been all over the media, from Oprah to Nightline to CNN to Good Morning America. Now he's here on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Don Yeager, welcome, sir.
Thank you so much. Couldn't have written that intro any better myself.
Well, it's very kind of you. So here we are. Your whole theme, based upon the extraordinary experiences that you have had in the sports community, is around greatness. Am I correct in that 30,000-foot assessment?
Absolutely, yeah. So it actually began almost 30 years ago now when I was coming out of college, and my father, recognized as a guy who had chosen to do journalism as a profession, my father challenged me. He said, you know, that just simply by the job you've taken, you're going to end up in the presence of some pretty incredible people. And he said, I hope you'll take advantage of that. And somewhere in your conversations with them, hopefully ask a question that will benefit you. He said, don't always ask the questions that seem to be only good for, you know, for your bosses or your audience or whoever. Ask something that you'll learn from every one of these people. You should take advantage of that. And so I did. I began a process literally as a rookie journalist coming right out of college in 1984. And I started asking a question about of every great winner I've been with, whether, you know, if they could identify a characteristic that helped them get from good to great and stay there, what would that characteristic be?
Hey, Don, I'm curious. Was your dad in the publishing business? Was he in the news business?
No, my dad was a preacher. But one of the things he loved about being in that role is that he said that people came to him for counsel, but he often learned as much from them as they learned from him. And that was his whole lesson, was that it was really about listening. It's a lost art. And asking good probing questions and then sitting back and listening can be an amazing gift to yourself. And so that was his challenge to me.
Boy, that was a really prescient piece of guidance, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And so over the years, I've just kept a whole series of notebooks just on the answers to those questions. And 5 years ago, when I retired from Sports Illustrated, I sat down with those notebooks and started calculating out what would be the answers that would be most common if there were some commonalities to them, which ones came up most frequently. And I found 16 answers that came up pretty regularly if you ask that question of some of the greatest champions of our lifetime.
And we're going to get a couple of those in just a second. But wholesalers, I just want to give you an idea of some of the folks, of, you know, just a couple of examples of who Don has sat down with in his journalistic career. He wrote the autobiography Never Die Easy with Walter Payton, did a book with Tug McGraw. He had a book that he did with Rex Ryan. He spent a lot of time with John Wooden. So Don has spent time with some of the greatest greats in sports history. Tell us, Don, what's at the top of the list as far as an extraordinary characteristic that these phenomenal names embody?
Sure. I mean, without question, the number one answer by far that comes up when you ask that question, and you know, we're talking about 2,500 interviews here, so it's a pretty amazing, pretty large subject group. The number one answer is that at some stage in their life, they learned to hate losing more than they loved winning.
Hate losing.
And most of us, love winning.
Yeah, I want to make sure I get that, and our audience get that. Hate losing more than winning. What? Tell us.
More than you love. Hate losing more than you love winning.
Mm, okay. All right.
That many of us love to win. That's kind of, you know, you're kind of wired that way to love winning. But truthfully, at a certain place in your career path, you should get to a level of success where you expect to win. It doesn't surprise you. It doesn't give you the momentary joy that it might give other people. But where you really turn the corner is when you learn to hate losing. And that's where it's, and there is a fine line. And it's interesting when you get with these great winners, you start talking about how does that happen? When does it happen? Almost every one of them can point to a moment when that mind shift occurred for them. And it usually comes down to a realization that they had to give up on excuses. Excuses are, the nails that build houses of failure, right? I mean, if you can make an excuse for your failure, you don't own it. It's not yours. It's somebody else's. There's a reason for it. You can blame somebody. And when you take excuses off the table, you learn to hate losing. So the great challenge and where many of these amazing champions found themselves getting was when they got to the place where they could say, I am no longer going to make an excuse. When something doesn't go my way, there's going to be a lesson learned from it. Michael Jordan, in one of my conversations with him on this subject, had a great line. He said, a loss is not a failure until you make an excuse. And I love that line. A loss is not a failure until you make an excuse. And so the truly great ones take excuses off the table. And when they do, they learn to hate losing.
And that becomes the tipping point.
That's their tipping point. That's when they realize, you know what? Okay, I expect success. It's nice. It's pleasant. It's not, but it doesn't give them, you know, that ridiculous overflow of joy that it does give some people, because they were counting on it. But where they've really learned to grow is in moments where they had to take excuses off the table when things didn't quite go their way.
I think about this in our business careers kind of on a continuum. You know, we start out in our career just wanting to get to the mountaintop of winning.
Right.
Right. We spend years just trying to get to the mountaintop of winning. And now you're saying that the pinnacle comes from a whole different analysis.
It's a different mountaintop.
Interesting.
Right. It's a higher plane. So, it's really fascinating. When you study these great winners, they will tell you that they found a place, and almost every one of them can tell you when it happened. Really fascinating.
Wholesalers, what's your tipping point? Have you gotten to that place? I mean, are you still on the ascent of the winning mountain, or have you recalibrated and now you're looking for that place where you hate losing more than you love winning? Very
and the key to that. Take excuses off the table.
Take excuses.
If you could find yourself, I'm telling you, we actually, in my little company, I have 18 employees. We decided to take a day last year as we were kind of working through this. So today is a no excuses day. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter no one in the company is allowed to make an excuse, right? And if you catch somebody doing it, you call them out. And that went great. Then we went to a no excuses week. And suddenly you start developing a culture where a failure happens, you don't blame somebody. You say, what can I learn from it? And when you do, you do find yourself growing at a much more rapid pace.
Isn't there a sports, I can't think if it's sportswear or if it's a, equipment manufacturer. Haven't somebody adopted a no excuses trademarked?
You know, I think there is. I don't know. I can't remember who it would be, but I think I've seen that somewhere, yeah.
I just know if there was a corollary between the two. Okay, so the first one is that. What's the second one? Because I know there's 16, four that you talk about in your keynote, but what's the second one you would share with our audience?
Yeah, I would say that, because as I think of the wholesaler market and our conversations, Rob, in advance of this interview, that I think when I look at other great winners, and this dovetails in some small way to what we just talked about, is that they learn to use adversity as fuel. That when things happen that could send other people to their knees, right? Could cause most people to curl up on a couch and say, "Oh man, this is not what I expected." They use those moments to go someplace that other people wouldn't go, maybe to do something that other people wouldn't do. And a lot of times in this case, I tell a story about an NFL football player who I spent a couple of years with while writing his book, named Warwick Dunn. A little guy, 5'8", 178 pounds, but carried the football over the course of a 13-year NFL career. Florida State,
yep.
And Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, amazing career in the NFL. All right. I mean, 11,000 yards rushing, smallest player in the history of the NFL to ever achieve the 10,000-yard mark in that area. And, but as a senior in high school, 18 years old, his mother, who was a police officer, was shot and killed in the line of duty, shot and killed in a robbery at a bank. And, you know, Warwick, nobody in the world would have blamed him. You know, people would have understood if he'd taken a bad route, if he'd done horrific things with it. Instead, he goes to college, as you said, Florida State, becomes the all-time leading rusher in that university's history, graduates with a degree, gets into the NFL, and starts buying homes for women like his mother.
Mm.
Just over the Christmas holiday, he bought his 120th home for a single mom. 120 homes, there are like 340 kids that wake up today with a house they get to call their own because of Warwick Dunn.
What an extraordinary story.
But he's the pinnacle. He's the prime example of this characteristic, that he took the very worst that could have happened to him, the loss of his mother. He had five younger brothers and sisters he had to raise while he was in college playing football. And then when he came out, he dedicated himself to doing something in his mother's honor, which was to give homes to people who would never have them if not for this. And every time he holds up a set of keys, he gets to say to him, you know, "Today you live my mother's dream." It's awesome.
Oh, that is an awesome story.
You couldn't help that.
So let me ask you a question about that. In the time we have left, is there a process, or is there a tool, or is there a piece of guidance that you have about how these folks have channeled their adversity? So, what was, back to tipping points, right? What was the separator between me taking the fetal position and me breaking through to a whole new level when I face this adversity?
So the story, in the completion of the story with Warwick, he tells me the story about how he got there, how he was able to do it, and that became, and I've heard this now from other athletes in different forms, but Warwick's mother had taught him a lesson. He said, you know, that every one of us has got a day ahead of us where something's going to happen that will bring you to your knees. Something's going to happen that will change the way you wake up the next morning. And when that happens, you will get two choices. You can be bitter or you can be better. And as my son, I asked you to always choose better. So Warwick said, you know what? I looked at it, and the second it happened, I realized I couldn't be bitter. That wasn't what I was taught. I needed to be better. So as simple as that sounds, the phrase resonates, you know, if you think about it. Okay, man, trust me, you're talking to a cancer survivor here. I get it, right? And, you know, 9 years ago, they told me I had cancer, and I was thinking about it, bitter or better. What am I going to be? What is the, you know, could I sit and go, wow, God, how can you do this to me, you know? Or could I say, what am I going to do to impact my environment that allows me to be better? And it it's a pretty simple choice.
Mm. Don, what a treat to have you on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio for the last 15 minutes. Wholesalers, if you get a chance, jump on out to Don's site. We'll, of course, hook that up in the links out on wholesalermasterminds.com. Pick up some of his writing. If you get a chance to see him, do. If you've got a company that's looking for a motivational speaker, a speaker with obviously a phenomenal message, please do investigate Don. Don Yeager, thank you for joining us at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Glad to be part of it, Rob. Thank you.
Wholesalers, come back again for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.